this morning, Barb's daughter and her family. And let's begin by turning to Luke chapter 1. It's a strange occurrence where the song leader is preaching and the preacher is song leading. But that's where we are these days. Thank you for the invitation to preach this morning. I'm very thankful for that. It's always a privilege to serve the Lord in this way. And I hope that you will listen to the Word of God, not to me, but to the Word of God and how it speaks to your heart. It'll speak to each of you differently, I believe, and allow the Holy Spirit to do whatever He's trying to perform in your life this morning. Now, a few introductory remarks here before we get into the Word, but the Christmas story presents us with a number of miraculous happenings. Impossible things happen one right after another in these accounts. Hard to believe things from a strictly human perspective. Now, as Christians, we're used to this. You know, we read these things, these passages every year. We hear them over and over again during the Christmas season. I think we get too used to hearing them. We get dull to the wonder of what is going on in these accounts. For instance, how many times did angels make an appearance in these two accounts, in Matthew and Luke? And when you think about it, there's quite a few, actually. If you look at the whole Old Testament, how many times did angels appear to human beings? Not very many, really, when you start to think about it. But in the account of the birth of Christ, we have angels appearing to the shepherds. They appeared to Joseph on three occasions. Do you know what those three occasions were? Think about that. Mary, he appeared to Zacharias, and they appeared to the wise men. All right? Let me ask you, how many times have angels appeared to you in your lifetime? None, right? I hope you'll say none. If you say yes, then we need to have a discussion. But all right, so it's like seven times that I can count that angels appear in this short period of time of the account of Christ's birth. Now, that consideration alone lends a sense of the miraculous to the whole birth story of Jesus. But there's a whole lot more of incredible, miraculous things that happen around the birth of Christ. And I just want to take some time to kind of look at the account in Luke, chapter 1, and kind of point out some of these things that happen. It's just amazing what God did during this period of time and what He has been known to do throughout the time that we've been on earth, all right? So Luke chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 5. And I'm going to read I'll read a few verses and I'll comment, all right, as we go along. So just use your finger to hold your place if I stop. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, which is the priestly line, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had an incredible reputation, didn't they? And this is a time when God hadn't spoken to the children of Israel for 400 years. And yet, there are faithful people still walking with God, even in this fairly dark time when Christ comes to earth. Read on. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. This couple had no prospects whatsoever of having any children at this point. right? They're elderly. They're well beyond childbearing age. Yet, they appear to have been still praying for a child. For a woman, a Jewish woman of this time, not to have children was a disgrace for her and her husband, okay? So we need to understand that. But they apparently were still praying that they could have a child. We'll read on here. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So far, the story's pretty tame, right? Nothing really miraculous has happened yet. Zechariah is just going about his business, doing his job in the temple. He's been doing faithfully for years and years. Nothing is different about this day. But this day is about to become way beyond ordinary for this faithful man and his wife. We'll read on here. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. The angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias. Now you can imagine Zacharias saying, right, nothing to fear here, right? We've all seen men with multiple wings, right? I mean, there's nothing out of the ordinary here. But this being, heavenly being, appears to Zacharias right there on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, I say he had multiple wings. This is Gabriel. Ezekiel, if you remember, saw heavenly beings with four wings when he saw that vision in Ezekiel. And Isaiah, when he saw a vision of the throne of God, he saw beings, angelic beings, with six wings. So it's not hard to imagine that this angel, Gabriel, who stood at God's throne, as he says, had a number of wings. We don't know how many, but he had several. Quite often, angels are pictured with just a pair of wings, like a bird, right? Which is, you know, we're kind of used to seeing that image. But in reality, it appears that the angels have more than just two wings. So how does that look? How does that work? You know, I don't think we've seen many pictures of that, have we? Of beings with multiple wings. But that appears how they are. They have many numbers of wings. So this must have shocked Zacharias to his core. It must have just, whoa, what? Where did you come from, first of all? And who are you? You don't look anything like one of the other priests. So we'll read on here. He says, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife, Elizabeth, shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now that's pretty unusual, right? An elderly couple having a child, I mean, that would be like Emily and I coming to church one day and saying, we're going to have a baby, right? I mean, wouldn't you kind of, your mouth drop and like, are you kidding me? How can that be? But here this angel is telling Zacharias, this is exactly what's going to happen. Your prayers have been heard. So it seems they were praying for this. And God answered their prayers, even at this point, where it doesn't seem possible that this could happen. But there was another elderly couple that had a son, if you remember, well beyond childbearing years, right? Abraham and Sarah. But as far as we know, it hadn't happened since Abraham and Sarah. And now here Zacharias is hearing it's going to happen to he and Elizabeth. Now also notice that John would be filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb. Now except for Christ, that has never happened before, that a human would be filled with the Holy Spirit before he's even born. How is that possible? I mean, there's miracle after miracle happening here. And we just kind of read through this. And this is the Christmas passage. This is what we read at Christmas. But we need to stop and look at this. It's just amazing what God is doing. Now let's continue reading. Where am I here? 16. Just want to make sure everybody follows on with me here. All right. So, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Verse 16. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now we have to believe that Zacharias understood the prophecy of Malachi 4:5. And when the angel said this, it must have stunned him. First that he would have a son, but also that he would be the one that would prepare the people to receive the Messiah. As I said earlier, it had been 400 years since the last prophets had spoken to the children of Israel from God. The last time that God had spoken to his covenant people. And here was a heavenly being, very unusual looking person, telling Zacharias that he would have a son and that that son would announce the arrival of the Messiah, their deliverer and king, who they were all waiting for hundreds of years. Now, I think that the angel did Zacharias a favor by taking his speech away. Because how could he possibly explain what just happened in the temple? How could he explain to the people what just happened to him? It would be impossible, wouldn't it? It'd be impossible for him to explain. But the Lord took his voice away as a sign of his unbelief, because of his unbelief. But, I mean, we can't blame him, right? I mean, this is all very hard to believe. And this happened to Zacharias. But the Lord took his voice away in his grace and goodness so that Zacharias didn't have to try to explain this. All he could do was maybe write messages and wait for these things to happen. Let's continue reading. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Note that Gabriel said, thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled. How many words of God do we hear and not believe? How many times do we hear things from the Word of God and we, maybe not outwardly, but inwardly, we question, you know, is that really true? Is that really what happens? Is hell really real? Is heaven really real? Some of these things are hard for us to understand, but God said it, and our responsibility is to believe it. Let's continue reading. I think I'm in verse 21. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. So he was able to do something with his hands, like that game that we play. What's that game we play where you make motions, but you can't use words? That's what he was doing with the people. He was trying to explain to them, just with his hands, what had just happened. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now Zacharias lost his speech for 9 long months, and he must have despaired or wondered if he was ever going to be able to speak again. So he returns home to his wife, and there's a happy reunion. He probably did a lot of scribbling on a piece of slate or whatever to explain to her what happened. And there's a happy reunion. And she discovers that as a result of that happy reunion, she is pregnant. Okay? Now, we don't know how Elizabeth reacted to her husband's story of an angel, which he had to probably write out for her. We don't know if she really believed it or not. But it wasn't long before she realized that it was indeed coming true. What a huge blessing this would be for a Jewish woman in that day. Even at her age, this was a huge blessing to her, because finally she was going to have a child. And as the angel told Zacharias, it was going to be a male child, all right, and a special male child, not just any male. God was preparing them for something incredible. All those long years of waiting, of praying, of hoping for a child. God was preparing Elizabeth and Zacharias for this day when an angel would announce that she was going to have a baby. And not just any baby, but a very special baby. Are you waiting for an answer to prayer? We have to learn to trust that while we're waiting, he is preparing us. I believe he was preparing Zacharias and Elizabeth for this announcement. And while we're waiting for answers to our prayers, we need to understand that most likely God is preparing us so that he can do something amazing in our lives. When we prayed and prayed and prayed for someone to get saved or for help or something that we need in our lives or something that someone we love needs, might be illness, it could be anything, we have to believe that God, while we're praying, is preparing for that answer to prayer, whatever it might be. And that's what Zacharias and Elizabeth had gone through all those long years. God was preparing them for this very thing. Let's move on to the next part of the story here in verse 26. And in the 6th month, I believe that's 6 months of pregnancy for Elizabeth, the angel Gabriel was sent from God again unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Here's another appearance of Gabriel on earth to a human as the messenger from the throne of God. He's not just any angel. I mean, this angel stands next to the throne of God. Did you know that Gabriel also appeared to Daniel? In Daniel chapter 8, you can look that up when you need to, when you have a chance. And he may also have been among the men that appeared, I say men, that appeared to Abraham to announce that he would have a son. We understand those were angelic beings that appeared to Abraham and Sarah to announce that he would have a son in his advanced age. Okay? So the same angel He's still alive several thousand years after appearing to Abraham. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you know, we see movies, we read stories about, you know, people that live, not true stories, obviously, but fictional stories of people that live hundreds and hundreds of years. But this is reality, folks. This is real. And here is this angel that stands next to the throne of God coming down and interacting with us. You know, just regular human beings. It's amazing. Reading on here, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. That's a very polite way of saying Mary was scared to death. Okay? That's an old English way of saying she was probably shaking and just awestruck that all of a sudden here in front of her was this same being that appeared to Zacharias. And again, not looking like a normal human being. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary." And he said the same thing to Zacharias, if you remember. I mean, it had to be a scary, fearful thing to see this angel. And he says both times, he says, "Fear not." Imagine his voice, the voice of an angel. What does the voice of an angel sound like? When he said, "Fear not," I mean, it must have just calmed her right down. Just amazing to think about. Mary was a young woman when this happened. You know, she may have been 15 or 16 years old, or at least early 20s. But what a walk before God this woman had, this young lady. Gabriel didn't say to Mary, "You're doing okay with God," or, "Mary, you're about a 4.5 as far as God's concerned." He said, "You, young lady, are a favorite of God's." Oh, that we would desire to be a favorite of God. Have you ever thought about that? She was highly favored by God. Imagine that. You know, I mean, do we think we are? Do we think we're so good that we're highly favored of God? Imagine what her devotion to the Lord must have been like. I don't think that God looked at Mary and said, "I hope she's going to find time to pray at least once this week. I hope she's not so busy that she can't talk to me at least once this week." But how many times must he say that about us? No, Mary is highly favored. The Lord had a difficult job for her, and he knew he could trust her to be able to carry it out, even as a young woman. And here we are, some of us, been walking with the Lord for years and years, and we still struggle with things. And we still wonder, could God give us this sort of task? Something so difficult that Mary had to go through for this 9 months, carrying this child with the shame that was attached to it because she didn't have a husband. She hadn't been with a man. So a lot of people were wondering what's going on. Even Joseph wondered what happened here. Who had she been with? But she was faithful to God the whole time. And even as a young woman, the Lord favored her. Maybe we need to pray that our lives would be such that God would favor us, that we would be a favorite of God's. How amazing is that? The fact is that we are in God's sight. If we're under the blood of Christ, if we're born again, we are God's favored people by His grace. Right? let's read on. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. She was to be the mother of the Messiah. What greater honor could God bestow upon this dear young woman? I can't wait to meet her. She must have been amazing. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. Now listen to this. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She humbly submitted to this huge responsibility that was just placed upon her shoulders by her God. If we learn anything from the account of the birth of our Lord, it should be that with God, nothing shall be impossible. I think that's incredible that this angel says this to her. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. A lot of impossible things happened around the birth of Christ. And we're just, you know, in the beginning here. We haven't even gotten to the point where John the Baptist is born and Christ is born. There's so many other things that happen that are impossible in the light of human understanding. Angels, an old woman having a baby long after she was no longer able, a young woman having a baby without a man, a priest losing his voice and then getting it back again 9 months later, the wise men finding the Messiah in a stable and then being warned of an angel by an angel to get out of town. An angel warning Joseph and Mary to flee to Egypt, and then appearing again to Joseph to tell him to come back from Egypt. So that the miracles and the impossible just keeps happening over and over again. But isn't this what God has always done? From the very beginning, God has always done what does not fit into our understanding of our world and the natural order of things. The earth and the worlds were spoken into existence. You know, scientists are trying to find out what physical thing happened to bring the planets and the universe into existence. Well, there is no physical thing that happened. God spoke and it happened. I mean, that's impossible to our way of thinking. Noah spent 120 years building a large boat where there was no water, and he had never experienced rain. And in a few short years, the earth was entirely buried by water. Jonah spent 3 days in a fish and lived to tell about it. That's amazing. How did that happen? Joseph went from being a slave to second in command of a world power, Egypt. Israel marched around the city and it collapsed without them doing a thing but marching and singing. God stopped the planets in their tracks for Joshua while he was fighting a battle so that he could win the battle. The Lord met three young men in a furnace of fire, and they didn't even smell like smoke when they came out. A stone from a small boy's sling hit a giant soldier exactly where it could kill him instantly. Every other vital organ of this giant was covered with metal or leather. But the Lord sent that stone into one little exposed spot on this giant soldier, and it sunk into his brain and killed him immediately. Jesus spoke, and a man came back to life after being dead for 4 days. You know, to see a funeral procession, and they're carrying a dead person to go bury them. And Jesus stopped, and he you know, welcomed that person back to life. That's pretty amazing, right? I mean, that person was obviously dead. But somebody who's been buried for 4 days, like Martha said, for sure, Lord, he stinks by now. He must have started decomposing. But Jesus spoke, and he walked out of the tomb under his own power. He spoke again, and the thief dying on a cross next to him awoke in paradise. And of course, as we read earlier, he sent his son under miraculous circumstances. And everything around his birth was impossible under normal conditions. Can Jesus save that one you've been praying for so long? Do you believe he can? I hope that, you know, just these few things that we've looked at prove that he can. And we need to continue to believe. Can he use that simple gospel tract to lead someone to himself? I've left tracts around and I'm like, I don't know. Somebody's going to pick it up and throw it in the trash. It's going to get blown by the wind and lost. But God can do amazing things, even with a simple tract. And he does. Can he heal that broken relationship between a husband and a wife? I hope you see now that he can. With God, nothing is impossible. Can he bring a wayward child drowning in sin back to himself and use him to his glory? I think we've seen that in our own midst. And he does it over and over and over again. Let me read a few verses here to see what Jesus says about this. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. And it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's Matthew 17:20. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And he was saying, a rich man can be saved. In Matthew 8:19-26. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's Mark 9:23. And he healed a child possessed of a devil. The Lord loves to do what to us seems impossible. He loves to save the soul that we consider beyond salvation. He loves to heal those who seem to us to be beyond hope. And he loves to build his church with those who we see as unlikely to succeed at anything. Right? I mean, which of us, being a part of this work, can understand why we are a part of the bride of Christ? Why God is in our midst and walking among us and working in our hearts? It's hard to comprehend. But the Lord loves to do what seems impossible. For with God, all things are possible. I hope you believe that. As we leave 2021 behind, let's walk forward in faith that we will see amazing things from the Lord happen this year. Let's really believe in answered prayer and expect that God will hear and answer. Imagine those things that we long for coming to be. All right? See them as happening. Believe. And that proves that we believe that they can happen and that God can do the impossible. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this account that we read quite often, just once a year. But it is so full of the amazing works of our God.